U.S. President Donald Trump has ordered a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz after peace talks with Iran failed.
The U.S. military says the blockade will take effect at 10 p.m. tonight, Singapore, Hong Kong time. Mr. Trump is looking to stop Iran from profiteering from ships passing through the key waterway and plans to also remove mines laid by Tehran along the strait. The move marks a further escalation of the weeks-long conflict after direct talks between the warring parties in Islamabad yielded no breakthrough.
Washington blames the failure on Iran's insistence on retaining the right to enrich uranium, which the U.S. argues could result in Tehran building nuclear weapons. Iran says it was inches from a deal, calling America's demands unreasonable. We are joined by Simon Frankel-Pratt. He's a senior lecturer of political science at the University of Melbourne. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Pratt. So firstly, your assessment of this U.S. move to blockade the Strait of Hormuz. Just how feasible is this blockade, and can it effectively restore U.S. leverage?
So it is certainly feasible. The U.S. does have the kind of naval deployment in the area to institute a blockade. It's not yet clear to me whether the blockade will be only of Iranian ports or of all ships trying to transit the strait that may have paid tolls. There's some confusion or inconsistency in American government messaging on that note. This would go some way to restoring U.S. leverage. And I suspect the U.S. is very anxious that Iran not be able to sort of establish and sustain a toll regime. It would be economically painful for the U.S. and also cost the U.S. a fair bit in diplomatic and political capital, since other countries might view it as kind of impeding the restoration and reconstruction of trade and movement through the international waterway. But it might be the least bad option available to them in a disaster at this point.
Dr. Pratt, I'm wondering, you know, why this has suddenly become viable. I mean, it's always been there for the U.S. It could have done it, but it held off, actually allowed some Iranian tankers to pass through, even granted a temporary license for Iran to sell some oil. So what exactly has changed? And isn't this actually going to make the ongoing energy crisis even worse?
Well, I suspect one of the major changes is that negotiations between the U.S. and Tehran have completely collapsed. And maybe the U.S. came into those negotiations thinking that they stood in a position of strength and could dictate terms. And perhaps they were a little surprised that that wasn't the case. I don't know. It's sort of hard to say on that front. But this is definitely a pretty significant move by the U.S., one which will, in the short term, make the energy and trade and economic crisis worse, and also one that will cost the U.S. a lot of diplomatic capital amongst allies or other sorts of partner states. It was a significant escalation. Establishing a blockade would be problematic under international humanitarian law and the laws of armed conflict as well. So I imagine the U.S. was anxious to explore and exhaust all other options first, which they seem to have done.
So, Dr., Iran says it will not surrender to threats. How is Tehran likely to respond to this level of pressure?
Tehran does not have that many other options beyond what it's already been doing, which is to create some sort of credible threat to shipping that flows through the Strait of Hormuz, unless those ships secure advanced permission, likely through a toll or some type of similar agreement. So Iran doesn't have to do much beyond what it's already doing, and then it's just a matter of who swerves first. You know, it's just a game of chicken. Two cars driving at each other. The one who stops or moves off piste first is the one who loses. Iran will employ the same strategy it has until now, which is to simply try to outlast whatever it is that the U.S. does to it.
Dr. Pratt, a U.S. blockade means ships from China, from Pakistan, from India, and other countries which, you know, Iran has deemed friendly would also be stopped as well. I'm wondering how you see these other countries reacting and about the possibility, I mean, of them confronting the U.S. Navy flotilla or Trump even.
So again, it's not yet clear to me whether the U.S. will be blockading all shipping through the strait that secures some sort of Iranian agreement, or just blockading Iranian ports. If it's the former, if it's a full blockade, I really struggle to see any situation in which the U.S. ends up in a military confrontation with China or India. I mean, as much as this blockade would hurt China, for example, and as much as it would make, Beijing very upset, I think it's just unlikely that Beijing would end up in a military confrontation. I do think that major states in the region, especially those highly dependent on petrol products flowing through the strait, would be pretty upset. And they would certainly, ask the U.S. to bring this thing to a close as quickly as possible. But again, I think all states, however frustrated they are with the U.S. in this case, would recognize that if Iran is able to establish a durable toll regime in the strait, it could be a pretty significant world event, and certainly a regional one that fundamentally changes the nature of international waterways and freedom of navigation.
You said that China may be reluctant to get involved, but there are reports, Doctor, that they may be taking a more active role now, including supplying air defense systems to Iran. It's something Beijing has denied, but how significant would that kind of support be, and how might that change the direction of the conflict?
It would be a pretty significant move diplomatically and geopolitically for Iran to commit to some significant military, for China to commit to significant military support of Tehran. That would change things a fair bit. Chinese air defense systems are better than what Tehran currently has. And so if the Iranians get a hold of this, that would, maybe introduce risks to U.S. planes and pilots. I don't think it would fundamentally transform the nature of the conflict unless Chinese military support were very significant. And I think that would be a very risky move for China. I think, of course, everything is possible, but that would not be the conservative move. The conservative move would be to wait this out and perhaps even to use levers of pressure on Iran to get it to be the one to stand down. Perhaps China will come to the conclusion that of the two actors over which it has some influence, it has more influence over Iran, however frustrated it may be with the U.S. and however much most of the world likely blames the U.S. for the current crisis.
Dr. Pratt, nobody was really surprised that the U.S. and Iran could not reach a deal in 21 hours, but there are reports indicating there were some areas of agreement. In fact, Tehran saying they were inches away from one. But the Straits and Iran's nuclear program appear to be the sticking point. So do you see a way forward from here?
Well, perhaps the United States will eventually find some way to reestablish the terms of the JCPOA, which was actually like a pretty good agreement, I think, in terms of what was possible and what the U.S. and allied states were able to establish. It does seem as though enrichment, which is Iran's right under the NPT, that enrichment is a sticking point. And I think Iran is very reluctant to relinquish control and leverage over the strait, since at this point, that's one of the only cards left in its deck, and it's a pretty good one. So certainly, I imagine if maybe a more normal negotiating team had taken longer than 21 hours, an agreement might have been hammered out, and that might have involved full opening and unrestricted shipping through the strait. But there would be something pretty big that the U.S. would have to agree to in exchange for that. I can't see Iran giving up the right to enrichment completely. And I imagine that the U.S. would have to sweeten the pot a lot, such as releasing impounded Iranian petro revenues or something along those lines, since Iranian reconstruction will now be very expensive.
Looking at the current situation, which side needs a deal more right now?
That's a very difficult question to answer. You might say that both Iran and the U.S. need a deal, but for different reasons. So the U.S. can certainly sustain its military campaign. It's expending a lot of difficult to replace or slow to replace munitions, but the U.S. isn't fighting any other wars right now. It could keep this up. But I think that domestically, Trump and the Trump administration realized this is a very unpopular war. The American people do not like it. It increases domestic, economic costs in ways that could harm the U.S. during the midterm elections. So I think the Trump administration is anxious to bring this to an end. But it could keep going. And ultimately, sort of U.S. voters tend not to pay too much attention to world events. Iran needs this deal because, so much of the state's infrastructure has been damaged and destroyed. Iran will be anxious to reconsolidate its regime and begin the process of reconstruction, including rearmament for what might be the next round of this. And so for that to happen, Iran has to be able to sell its oil and petrol resources, and it ideally needs to be able to extract some kind of additional revenue from the situation, whether it's gaining access to impounded monies or setting up a toll regime. I think that the Iranian state is in a poor shape right now, and it would be anxious to get this over with and start rebuilding as it can.
So is it your assessment, Dr. Pratt, that both sides will return to negotiating, at least, for this 2-week window that was discussed or what that was announced by President Trump?
Iran is ready and willing. I can't say what the U.S. will do because a lot of it depends on what Trump decides. And I cannot anticipate what Trump will decide because there's not a lot of consistency between what Trump says and what Trump does, or between what Trump says he's going to do in one moment and what he says he's going to do in the next. So there's a lot of unpredictability here.